New South Wales National Party leader and Deputy Premier John Barilaro has withdrawn his threat to move his party to the crossbench over a new state planning law designed to reduce koala habitat destruction. Mr. Barilaro has characterised the law as unfairly targeting farming operations, making it harder for farmers to make ends meet. But not everyone agrees. President of the Liberal Party-aligned environmental think tank Coalition for Conservation, Christina Tolaco, wrote in The Guardian that the rules won't affect farmers' use of land any more than it will affect those living closer to the major cities. To discuss this, I spoke to Dr. Christine Hosking from the University of Queensland. Dr. Hosking says the change is overdue, as New South Wales has seen large losses in the extent of native forests in recent times.
Look, I think for many, many, many years, farming and other land uses has really jeopardised koalas and all of Australia's biodiversity, which is why Australia has such a terrible track record in native species extinctions. I think this is really overdue. Farming does need to be a little more curbed in terms of how much land they can actually clear. New South Wales and Queensland have enormous amount of land clearing occurring all the time for farming, and I think this new regulation will simply pull the reins in a bit on farmers. And
so do you have a good understanding of what levels of restrictions the planning rule places on farmers and other people who want to develop their land?
Well, yes, I think it just means that they will have to go through certain planning approval process so that if trees are identified by experts, for instance, that they're needed for koalas, and it's been expanded, so it used to just say specific koala food trees, but of course these new regulations are expanding that. They've actually identified 123 more tree species that koalas need for food and shelter and social gathering. Of course, very importantly, they need other sorts of denser trees in our heat waves because they really can't thermoregulate well when it gets over about 40 degrees, really, and they've been known to just drop out of trees from heat exhaustion.
For people to understand the process a little better, do the regulations actually stop people from clearing koala habitat, or do they just make them go through some hoops to show they've tried to preserve the area?
Yes, well, the devil's often in the detail, but I guess this updated regulation will mean that there's a mandatory 28-day consultation period with local councils, which is rather like, you know, any developer has to do. And then if they are approved after that consultation period, then they're referred to the New South Wales government for approval. And I guess that's at the point where the regulations will step in and actually more specifically, I guess, stipulate, no, I'm afraid, you know, we can see that there's evidence for this being really important koala habitat, so you won't be able to clear it. I mean, that's what you hope the final solution is. So it's just going to make it harder. You know, a farmer can't just go and bulldoze at will when he feels like it. He's just going to have to go through some hurdles first. And I assume that the end goal will be that habitat is protected for koalas. So, you know, I'm afraid it's probably time they've got to, you know, pull their weight as well as everyone else, not just for biodiversity, which of course ensures human health, but for mitigating climate change and so many other things. You know, there are so many advantages to retaining forest that go well beyond just protecting species like koalas.
Dr. Christine Hosking from the University of Queensland speaking to me earlier.